Well, God is great, and he's good. He is a keeper. He's a keeper. Hey, and it's good to see Chad. Amen. And Hugo. All right. Let's look at chapter 3, Galatians. No, there's no need to hasten through the book, even though people like to finish something. Because these are God's words. They're not man's words. Amen. And if you think that one word is better than another, you're wrong. All the words are written not by Peter or Paul or Isaiah. They're actually written by the Holy Spirit. So by reading each word, we could take one chapter and read it for a whole year. Because there's so much in here. I would put it this way, that the whole DNA is in every chapter. It's in every few verses. And so you could just read any part of the Bible, and it all says the same thing. It's the same DNA. It's always about the blood of Jesus that covers your sins, the mercy of God. It's all about the power of God to help you. It's all about, well, I'll pick up on what Chad was sharing. There's never been a law of God that wasn't for your benefit. Most people think of laws as burdens, but no law of God is ever for God. It's always for you, because God's for you. How could he make a law that wouldn't be for your benefit, advantage, profit, blessing, safety, happiness? Every law that a parent makes for a child should be, ought to be, for their good. And so there aren't any laws that aren't good. None. Not one. When he said, don't eat of the tree or you'll die, that was so that you didn't eat the poison and die. It wasn't for you, to limit you. It wasn't to limit you. It was to help you. It was for your benefit. So human laws are usually not for your benefit. And I'm sorry to say that, because that's not God's will. We should have copied God. We should have paid attention to how God makes laws. And I've told you that every law is actually a promise. There's no difference between a law and a promise. You shall not eat of the tree is the same as saying you shall not eat of the tree. That's a promise by God. It's not a work by you. Right. It's not you not eating. It's God giving you the strength, the power, the inspiration, whatever. He's always on your side. It's like saying to a little child, someday you'll behave, you know. But God has written it in such a way that it can be interpreted as a promise or a law. You shall not could be a command, but it also could be a promise. You shall not. It's a promise by God. One is a command for you to do something. The other is a promise that God will do something. Yeah. And the latter is the case. That every command in here, if you would meditate on that night and day, think on the law, it's actually in your favor. It's the same as a promise. That's why he wrote it that way. Does he have a right to do that? Yes, of course. But most people read it as a law because they're expecting the worst. I bet he won't let me do that. I bet you can't do that. I suppose he's going to punish me for that. That's your own thinking that comes from the devil. But there's nothing in the Bible except good news. That's why the New Testament's called, you know, the Gospel. Gospel just means euangelion, which means good news. That's all it means. So everything in this Bible is good news, Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament's a shadow. The New Testament is a bright light, and so on. So you all understand that. I know you've heard it before. But meditate on that. Chew on that. That God, if God ever gave a law that was for your harm, he wouldn't be God. He would not be God. So the fact that tyrants do that, despots do that, politicians do that, that's wrong. And I'll tell you this, our Constitution in Texas doesn't allow it. And the U.S. Constitution doesn't either. And it's the first nation ever created. Actually, there was a king in England, the very first king of England. Anyone know what his name was? The very first king of England. He started his laws with the Ten Commandments. He started them. His name was Alfred the Great. Alfred the Great is the first king. This is, let's say, in the years 875, something like that. That's when he began to rule, and he was actually probably from Denmark or something. He was from one of the Scandinavian countries, but they had been Christianized. And so he came over and said, I'm going to start my laws with the Ten Commandments. So I know that this is not the gospel, but this is the law, but it's a good law. It's a good law. And that's why England is a little bit different than France or Germany or other places. The Catholic countries, for the most part, had laws that, but not always, but they had laws that weren't helpful to the people. They were helpful for the papacy or for the king or the emperor or something. Americans decided not to do that. I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about God's law, his word. Everything in this Bible is for your good. Everything is for your eternal life. Everything is for happiness. Everything is for safety. There's not one thing in here that limits you. There's everything in here to tell you, I don't care what you do, I love you. Now, that's not what pastors preach, but they're wrong. They're wrong. Amen. So you can even, you know, put an extra chair out. You can do anything you want. Because God's always for you. God is never against you. If God be for you, that means because God is for you, who can be against you? And the answer is nobody. So, there's nothing in this Bible except good news. And I'm telling you that the evangelical world, which means good news, is full of laws and rules. They don't mean to. I know they're intending to try to be faithful, but they turn it into a law. Well, I noticed nobody mowed the lawn this week or whatever. And, you know, our giving's a little bit down. And they're putting pressure on people. God has never done that. Though it looks like it. Yes, but don't go by appearance. It looks like he made a law. He even said so. Now watch. I'll give you the worst case scenario. If you don't do what I say, you'll be cursed. Now that sounds like a law. It's not. It's actually a promise. Can you figure out how that could be good news?
Yep.
How?
Chastity is good for us.
Okay, that's true.
Loves us.
That's true. But even that's not the case. It's even better than what you just said, though. That's true. That is true. Because the law's got a good side to it. It's even better. In other words, if you break my commandments, you're going to be under a curse. If you keep them, you'll be blessed. So, that's good. But it's not. It's even better than that. What it's saying is, if you keep... Peggy knows. Okay, try it. See how good she is.
I would say we're supposed to keep it or we'll be cursed, but Jesus kept it for us.
Correct. There it is. So, if he's saying you, can't he interpret the word you different than you would? You would think you means you. But it actually means the new you in Christ, so that Christ actually does it for you, in you, and through you. So you did do it in all three ways. Because that's what he did. So whenever there's a curse in the Bible, put that on Jesus. Whenever there's a blessing in the Bible, put that on yourself. So you get all the blessing, he gets all the burden, and he's totally happy with that. It's not a bad deal for Jesus. It's why he came down voluntarily. Father, send me. Let me go down and pay for Bonnie's sins. Let me go down and pay. You know, I don't want her to pay. I just don't want it. Father, I know that's not your will. I know you wrote it in such a way they got it mixed up because the devil interpreted it wrong for them. Do y'all see what I'm doing? I'm not better than other pastors or anything. I'm just telling you, I read it correctly. That's the way to read it. That's all good news. Why? Because God's good. How could he give something bad or shadow of turning or darkness or whatever? There's no shadow of turning with God. There's no darkness in God. He doesn't have a bad side. Well, he's going to get wrathful at certain people. No? I'm sorry. Jesus took all the wrath upon himself. And when someone goes to hell, that's the way people talk, they did it on their own. They decided not to believe in the goodness of God. Okay? That's why we're to be the light and the salt for other people. They can see that your religion doesn't require anything of you. Right. It requires everything of Jesus, of God himself who made the promise. God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will. Do we sin? Of course we do. But Jesus took them all. He took all of your sins and all the punishment that goes with it. And he already died. It's over. Right? Now, I don't know if you understood that or not. I pray that you do. It seems wrong. It seems like it's too good to be true. It's not. It's actually better, even than I'm saying it. Because God wants to have what Chad said. I wish he had stayed. He wants to have a relationship, not a performance. He wants to have a relationship, not a performance. He wants to have a relationship. Now, when you have a relationship with someone that loves you unconditionally, you begin to perform, but you weren't intending to. But you just begin to perform because somebody loves you unconditionally, and it changes you that you didn't deserve it. Because you know you didn't deserve it. I know Willis and I know that. And I think Sam. Maybe Dan. Maybe. You know what? It's too good to be true. But it is true. It happens to be true. It's something you don't deserve. You don't deserve to be loved. But you're going to be loved anyway, because God is love, and he can't change. He can't say, okay, I decided not to love you after what you did last night. Can't say that. Let God be true, every man a liar. He's not ever going to be mad at anybody. Anybody that goes to hell on their own, they go on their own. They did not go by God. And the only reason they did that was because they didn't see our joy, our peace. We weren't enough of a light so that they could see, well, if she could get in, I think I could get in. You know, I don't know how Dave got in. I think I could get in. Dave could get in. So, do y'all see? This is good news. It's shouting good news. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is awesome. This is awesome. Let's say you're a pastor and you don't wear a tie. Just for example. I have it out in the car. I could go out and get, I have my coat and everything out there. I just decided to have a little freedom, a little liberty.
I almost fell off my chair.
Right. Yeah, so David was shocked. But I'm just telling you, there are no rules. I know there are rules, but they're for Jesus. Every law in the Bible is for Jesus. He's the end of the law. Every law in the Bible, everything against you is Jesus. Let Jesus have that. Mm-hmm. Anything that's against you, that relieves you. Yeah. You say, how could anyone love that person? Well, Jesus does. God does. So that's the way it is. Now we can bless our enemies. Pray for Al Qaeda. Pray for, you know, whatever. Hillary. Pray for all of them. Why? Because God has loved us. If he loved us, we can love everybody else. Y'all see that? So that's good news. All right, let's read about Abraham. We're going to start at verse 5.
In what book?
Oh, Galatians 3, 5.
Again?
Yeah. Definitely again. Because until we get this, there's no point in going on. It's not going to be any different than, you know, Ephesians or Corinthians or, you know, Isaiah. They're all the same. I'm just trying to tell you, It's so easy for me to read the Bible because it's just a love letter to Jim. Dear Jim, I love you. Mm-hmm. That's all. Dear Randy, I love you. It's just amazing that there's no bad news in this book. None. You cannot find any verse that's bad news. I know there are verses that look like it, but you didn't meditate. If you had read the Old Testament through the New, according to the New, put on the New Testament glasses and read it differently, you'll see that it's all for you. I know everybody's experience is the opposite. I don't care. I don't care about your experience. You're wrong. You need to meditate night and day till you get a hold of it that it's all good news. If God be for you, God is for you. So who can be against you? The devil? He's nothing. The devil's nothing. He could eliminate the devil. You know that. If God has all the power that he has, he's just a creature. So all he wants to do is just poke him in the nose or whatever, and the devil's gone. So the devil's not our problem. He may be your enemy because he's lying to you, but he's not in your way. You can't change God from wanting to do everything for you. You can't make him not love you. God said, don't love me because I don't deserve it. You can't. That is silly, because God's going to love you anyway. It's so clear. Let God be true and every man a liar. You can lie all day long. He still will be true. His promise still holds. So the Baptists sing the song, Standing on the Promises. Why? Because that's all there is. This whole Bible, the form may look like a law. It does look like a law. God deliberately wrote it that way. But who are you to say that a command is not a promise? You shall not commit adultery. That's a description of your new man in Christ. That's all. So somebody said, well, I thought a bad thought the other day. You didn't. The old you did, but the new you didn't. Well, what do you mean new you? The one that's related to Jesus, you. That you. That you that believes in Jesus. So we're going to read now about the father of faith, Abraham. Listen carefully now. See if there's anything here for you to do. Then, verse 5, Galatians 3:5. He, capital H. Then he, supplying the Spirit to you, and working works of power in you. He, supplying, providing. What? What does he provide?
Spirit.
Okay, the Spirit. So who gives you the Spirit? Well, who has it? God. That's God's Spirit. His Holy Spirit. It's not like our Spirit. Ours is not holy. So is there anything wrong with someone who's superior? He's got a big capital S Spirit, holy. Ours is a little rotten spirit, you know, so what? Is there anything stopping him from loving me or giving me or sharing with me his Spirit? Does he have to misbehave because I did? Does he have to return evil for evil? I could be evil and he could be good. What's stopping God from being good? He is good. And he can't change. I think I'll be evil today. He can't do it. I can do it easily. I can do it so easily. I can do it. Even Peggy can do it. He can tell time to be mean. And y'all think not, but you're not living with her. She can be mean and vengeful and so on and so forth. And I could be the victim. But I've never been a victim. I don't feel like I'm a victim of anything. Why? Because I don't think anyone's making me do evil. I think Jesus Christ is in me, and I just can say or do or whatever through Jesus. It's so easy. Amen?
Amen.
So I don't ever look at my behavior, ever, bad or good. I don't ever look at that. Why would I take my eyes off of Jesus who loves me to check to see how good I'm doing or bad I'm doing? I'm not interested in the bad that I do. Or the good that I do. I know this is confusing to a child, but you're not children. And dad will explain it to your son there. Explain it to him that you're not telling him to do bad, you're just telling him that when you do bad, I still love you. Right?
Yes.
No matter what.
Indeed.
Because don't fix that on kids. you're bad. No, they did bad. Yeah. Forget who, how, why. Forget that. The main reason this book is written is not to figure out who sinned, this man or his parents. That's not the point of the Bible. Don't worry about it. It's just for God to show his glory. What's his glory? To love you, a sinner. There's no other God that's ever done that, so there's no other God. This is the only good God, the only true and living God. This is the only one. I don't really care what people teach or say or do. I'm just telling you, our book right here, and there isn't any other. I don't believe any other writing. This is the only book that tells you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I didn't get it because I'm clever and smart and went to, you know, nice schools and stuff. I got it because I was such a bad person that I needed to read it and get some good news out of it. When everything it said not to do, I wanted to do it or did it. And everything it said to do, I didn't want to do it and I didn't. I mean, so there's no way. I mean, I don't know if you can conceive of that unless you're like me, that I'm just a natural bad person. By just my natural life, I go for crime. I go for the worst thing. I'll think the worst or whatever. I'm not a lover. I've never been a lover. Poor Peggy married me hoping for a knight in shining armor. I was dung covered. You know, I just was not. It just wasn't any shine. And so it's a bad deal for her. But, you know, too bad for her. Because I didn't have any morals. I didn't have any religion. I didn't have any decency or kindness or goodness. Now, those of you that do, you're a liar. I'm just saying. I'm only reading out of the book here. Let God be true and every man a liar. You are not self-righteous, you see. It's just that I was obviously not. But... and that's in the Bible, by the way, that some are obvious and some are not. But the self-righteous actually believe through their religion and their morals, they're actually pleasing in God's sight. And it says so in the book. I know it says so, but it doesn't mean that. I'm reading it correctly for you. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Because only God is good. And even Jesus isn't any good. He's no good. Why? Because he said, the Father that's in me doeth the works. So Jesus is totally dependent upon the Father. Now, not Jesus up in heaven, Son of God, but Jesus on earth, Son of Man. Because, you see, he wasn't created. The Son of Man thing was a point in time, came into history 4,000 years after the world was created. That's when Jesus, you know, became flesh. No, he actually 6,000 years ago when the world began, he was already there, crucified for us. Before God even created the world, he was already there in the waiting, you know, off stage, waiting for his moment to come on. Jesus, how long has it been? 4,000 years. Okay, now, come on stage. So he came on stage. We killed the guy. First thing we did when we saw somebody loving us unconditionally, we killed him. Right? I mean, that's what you and I are. We're murderers. Somebody loves us unconditionally, we're going to kill them. I mean, we're going to murder them. Because we just can't, you know, we don't believe it. Why? Because people don't act like that. But you and I don't go by sight. We go by the word. That's what baptism's all about. Is all about that. Amen? All right, let's read about Abraham. This is so good. Abraham's father of faith, right? Let's read about this father of faith. Then he, supplying the Spirit to you and working works of power in you, miracles, is it by works of law? Did you behave because the law said behave? Is it by works of the law? Remember it says with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself and so on. So you're supposed to keep the laws with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Nobody's ever done it, ever done it, ever done it, ever done it. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Now little kids may be talked into it. Mommy, I was nice today. I got a star. The other kids didn't. I was the only one. Okay. That little kid believes they did good, and they get a reward for it. Well, they're wrong. But it's okay with a little kid because they're little kids. And so that's a good way to do it. I believe in teaching kids the law. Let them misunderstand it. They're not going to understand this, what I just said, until they're 25 or 30 or 16 or some older age, when they see how wicked they are. You know, when your best friend betrays you, and when some guy abuses you, and so on and so forth. That's when you begin to think, huh? What's going on? Life stinks. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't occur to you when you're a little kid, because it seems like right and wrong, you're supposed to do right and wrong. And you know, most parents try to teach that to kids, and it's good. I'm all for it. I'm just telling you, when they grow up there, you're going to lose them about age 10 or 11 or somewhere in there if you don't begin to show a lot of mercy. Because when that chemistry sets in, just prior to puberty or about the time of puberty, all of a sudden they say things they never said before, they think things they've never thought before, and so on. It just kind of like hits them as, whoa, you know, people aren't good, and I'm not either. And I'm going to get my vengeance on that person. Mm-hmm. The little kids are just more open about it, and I hate you, and so on. But the truth is, they get over it in about 3 seconds. Okay, I'll be your friend. Oh, okay. You know, and they're back playing again. That's the way little kids are. But and they cry, and all of a sudden, the next minute, they're laughing and eating again or whatever. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? They recover real quick. Because they just want to be worshipped. That's about it. And when you do, they're okay with that. So they like being spoiled. Our God has spoiled us. He's given us the truth. Now you say, well, Pastor, how come you see this so clearly? How come at this last, almost the world is over, we're finally getting it clear? Why didn't the church get it clear back in the Middle Ages or Reformation or whatever? Well, actually, if you read carefully, people have gotten this before. It's not new. I'm not saying anything hasn't been said from the beginning that the gospel started until today, 2,000 years. I can show you in every age somebody got a hold of it. And lots of people. I'm not just a few. But not the majority. And today, we're in a mess today. But you're not. It's not true. It's not true. The best is yet to come. I mean, right now is a wonderful time. Are you still able to be happy every once in a while?
Yes.
Well, you can be happy all the time. Why? Let's say Hillary becomes president or something. My gosh, it's fine. You know why? There's still Jesus. Yes. He still loves you. Mm-hmm. You can be kind to your neighbor even if she's the president. You know, I mean, it's just silly. Or what if Trump becomes president? Oh my gosh, never Trump. You know, so it's okay. He's just a human being, and he might turn out to be good, and she might. You know, I mean, her husband, he was kind of you know, for Hillary Care or whatever it was called. And the first couple of, you know, years of his thing, first 4 years, but then he gave it up, and he was pretty good the last term. Wasn't at all, you know, he kind of like got along with everybody and so on and so forth. He's kind of a good-natured guy. He's a jerk, but he's a good-natured guy. But he's just a sinner. He's just a sinner. But he had a Baptist background. He understood behaving. And, you know, he was two-sided. There's two sides to the guy. He's kind on the one side and then nasty on the other side, as far as people are concerned. But God loves him. I dreamt of him, and I dreamt talking to him and so on. I dream of... you know, all kinds of things. I do a lot of my preparation for messages in my dreams. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know what y'all dream, but I'm a pastor, so I have to do it. But I actually do dream preaching and teaching people and reaching millions and so on and so forth. So I know it's true for me. I'm a real believer, because in your dream you can tell you're... Because, you know, in the dream, if you lie, you know it. I mean, you do. I mean, it's amazing how transparent you are in your dreams. I was scared to death or whatever. You know it. The dream showed up. So let's read about the father of faith. Now, remember, that doesn't mean he wasn't under a law. He was under the civil law. Because if the society doesn't like you, they don't read your heart. They just read your behavior. Society doesn't care one thing what you're really thinking and feeling. We're psychological today, but nobody in the ancient world was psychological. They'll just behave or don't. If you don't, we get you, kill you, punish you, put you in a stock, you know, poke you or something. But in the modern world, we're trying to be more humane. Ain't true. I tell you, any form of cruelty is cruel. It can be mental, it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be, you know, anything. It hurts. But God, not like God. The only reason there's any hope in this world is because God. This is it. And show me another nation that's, you know, kind or whatever. They're not. They do all the same things we do. They call them, you know, witchcraft. We call them lawyers. But there's no difference. You're going to pay somebody off. That's all I'm trying to say. And so they just charge you a lot of money and call lawyers, so it's illegal. But the truth is, it's the same as bribery. You're just going to pay somebody to help you out because you don't know how to beat the system. And they rig it so that you can't beat the system. They want you not to be able to. Okay. Now, listen to this. Even as Abraham, did you get the spirit by the hearing of, by the doing of the law or the hearing of faith? Doing a law or hearing of Jesus Christ doing it for you and therefore by faith. So did it come by hearing or doing? Well, doing is active. Hearing is passive. I heard somebody say, he loved me. Okay, that doesn't mean he did, but I heard him say it. But in this case, you heard about Jesus Christ dying for you so that you wouldn't have to die eternally. How many of you have ever died eternally? Nobody, because you haven't even gotten to that point yet. You're not even died physically yet, so you don't even know what that means. Nobody's ever experienced that. This is crazy talk here because it's revelation. It's not self-evident truth. So my reason can't get a hold of it. How could God, being holy, like me, who ain't? I don't know. It just says so. So my faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by doing. I'm not a good doer. And I know Julia isn't either. We're not good doers. Performance is out. Jesus Christ performed, the only one in history, the only one in history, performed perfectly. The only man in history that performed perfectly. Nobody else ever performed perfect. Adam didn't do it. You know, nobody else. Even King David, he never did it. He committed adultery and he murdered his best friend and so on. Nobody's ever performed perfectly. Even people that look like they did, they didn't. But Jesus did. He's the only one, though. And that's because he is the Son of God. He's only a son of man because he was the Son of God. And he's perfect. And he always does what's pleasing to the Father. But Bonnie, you and I haven't. We haven't done everything right. And, you know, little kids will catch you. Little kids will catch you. And it's a moment of shock that your parents aren't perfect. That's a shock to them. Because you taught them right from wrong. You taught them. And it, you know, sounds right. You know, so... But, Dad, you just didn't do it. The thing you told us not to do, you just did it. You did it. But they may not say it for years. But then one day, it'll just come out of their mouth. You all, you know, whatever. Just shock you that they've been watching. Because if a little kid likes you, they're going to watch you. And if they watch you, they're going to wonder what's going on. You've experienced that, Randy. I mean, I'm just saying. Because the kids like you. Because they don't know anything. And then when they begin to see over and over again repeated patterns, they begin to hate you. And then it comes out one day. You know, and then it sticks because they don't know what to do with it. Because they were once shocked by liking you. I can tell you, I have never loved anybody. Therefore, I've never really hated anybody either because I've never loved anybody. I just wasn't loved, and I didn't love back, and so on and so forth, and I'm okay with it. So it makes me very hardy as a pastor. I don't mind when people rape and kill and steal and cheat and lie. It doesn't bother me at all. I have no thing. I know it's wrong, but I don't hate the person for doing it. It's just like, well, too bad for that idiot, that person who did it. It's just objective to me. So when people lie to me, I love it. I enjoy it because it's very good. It's a very good lie. I love that lie. But I don't tell them that. But I'm not mad at them for doing it. I just think, I wish I had thought of that. That's all I'm thinking. I never thought of that myself. So I don't have any judgment. Why? Because God loved me. We love because God loved us first. God first loved us, right? So let's read about Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God. Believed God. That's it. There it is. There's the whole world right there. Abraham believed God. Believed what? That he was good. That he was great. That he was powerful. All for Abraham. And he made that promise to him. Remember that? He made a promise to him. And it came by faith because he heard him say it. I will, you know what? Show you a land. Okay, well, that first of all, I'm going to show you a promised land. I'm going to show you something good. Be good. And then I will, what? Make a name for you, a great name for you. Wow, that's a good one. Okay, and another good one. I'm going to show you. In other words, I'm not going to give you a map and you go find it. I'm going to actually show it to you. I'm going to take you to it. I'm going to go with you. Wow, that's cool. If I'm lost in a city and I ask directions, most people go, I think it's two blocks down and I don't know, there's a tree there and, you know, I have no idea what they just said. But if somebody says, and everybody, every once in a while you get this, they just, look, I'm going to take you there. It's out of my way a little bit, but I'm going to take you there. I love that. Yes. Because like, that's good because I have no idea where I am. And, you know, I just roll down the window. I have no pride at all. I'm an idiot. I know nothing. I just walk in and tell people I'm lost. You know, I just say it because I don't have any pride in that. But I'm not going to get there on time, but I'm never on time anyway. So I don't apologize to anybody for being an idiot. I'm okay, idiot. And are you all happy being an idiot at times?
Yes.
You know, and it can be frequent times.
Very.
It's okay. Because God is not mad. Because we have a God, it makes everything like there's still hope. There's always hope. This Bible, if it says one word, it says there's always hope in God. There's always hope. Janet, you prayed a long time for a good job. There's always hope. And now you've got it. That's fun to get it. But it's really anticlimactic because you went through hell for years hoping and it didn't come through. Right? And then all of a sudden it comes through and you go, oh, thank you. But it's like, it really is a powerful thing. But in a few minutes it's not because you actually got what you wanted and it's not perfect after all. I mean, really. I mean, that's just the way life works. All right. Abraham believed God. Oh, there it is. Randy believed God. Dan believed God. You know, Sam believed God. Willis believed God. Hugo, David, Jim. That's powerful, powerful, powerful. Andrew believed God. That's all. That's all it takes. I'm not so good, but God is good. God loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. Who could be against me? If God be for you, if God's on your side, how could you die? How can you get sick? How can you be poor? How can anything go wrong? If God be for you, I mean, he's got all the brains, all the power, all the goodness, everything. If God is for you, who? There's nobody could be against the devil and all his hosts and all the demons in the world and all the evil people on earth. Let them be there. Boo! You know, you're not afraid of the big bad wolf. When you're a Christian, you have nothing to be afraid of.
Amen.
Perfect love, his to me, casts out all fear, mine.
Yes.
I don't have any fear anymore. Why? God loves me. Well, how do you know that? It comes by hearing. It doesn't come by works. It doesn't come by performing so that I deserve something. I read my Bible. I fasted for 7 days. I fasted for 50 days or 40, you know, 80. I don't know if anybody's ever topped Moses. 80 days. That guy didn't eat for 80 days. That's a long time. Okay, he must have been skinny as a rail. I bet, you know, I'd be about the same weight as he is. I never seem to gain weight. I can eat a lot, and I'm still not going to gain. So no point in eating. And I can go a long time without eating. And you fall off the roof or something like that. So it makes you want to eat a little bit. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him by God for righteousness. He's right with me. Why? Because he believed me. Not because he did anything. Not because he behaved. Not because he obeyed. Not because he served me. What must he do, Jesus, to be doing the will of God, to do the works of God? Only believe. Just believe. Don't do anything. Just believe that I want to do and have done and will do everything for you and in you and through you. I'll perfect the whole thing. Wow, there's a God who really thinks he can do a lot. Did you know that God is the only actor in the universe? There isn't anybody else that's ever done anything. Satan can do nothing. All the enemies in the world can do nothing. You'll never finish your pyramids. Anybody who wants to be great and awesome, and most people do, you're not going to finish the pyramid. You'll almost get it plugged in, but at the last minute, it'll be withdrawn. Has anybody noticed that at all? That, you know, when you're at your best, it still doesn't work out. When you get what you really want, it still is no good. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. We now have washing machines instead of, you know, rocks where you beat them in the river and stuff like that. And you think, boy, I would love to have a washing machine where I could have some free time. Yeah, so you could watch TV and debauch and, you know, so on and so on. So every advance has been actually no advance at all. I don't know. That's why I don't believe in Hillary's progressivism. Because there's no progress. Because the minute they solve one disease, there's four bigger ones that you never had before. Now all of a sudden everybody's dying of cancer, or they got some new thing, and they solve that and they'll get another five that you didn't even plan on. I'm just telling you, you cannot beat the system. So there is no heaven on earth. The only heaven on earth is us. The only heaven on earth is Jesus living in somebody, God dwelling in us. That's heaven on earth. So I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Hugo, you're in heaven. You don't have to say it, but you can. I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
Good. Yeah, that's what I'd say. That's what I do say. I'm in heaven. I'm not waiting for it. I'm already in it. Because Christ is in me, and heaven is knowing Jesus, which is knowing the Father, which is living in the Spirit. I mean, that's all. That's what it is. All right, look at this. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know this then. Listen to what you're supposed to know. Let's see here. Where are we? That those of faith, that is those who have the faith thing, these are the sons of Abraham. Ishmael is not. Ishmael was a performer. Ishmael's a performer. He was mighty. He promised, 12 kingdoms. And he's got them all. So, but you can't have 13. The Muslim world only wants one thing, 13. That happens to be Israel. That was the one that was saved for his brother. That was saved for his brother. So, you can't have what your brother got. You got 12 kingdoms, and he's only got one. And now you want that one too. So you see, Ishmael wants to go beyond what God said, and God cannot change his mind. Once he says you get 12, that's all you get. You will not get 11. You're going to have 12, but you're not going to get 13. So you see what Israel's problem is today? Is all they got to do is read the book and realize he'll never get it. But he's in their belly. He's everywhere. And they got him reduced to, one-eighth of what they were promised and so on. It's okay. God can't lie. Let every man lie, but God can't lie. It looks like, don't go by looks like, go by what it is in truth. So, I don't know. Why be worried? And by the way, you and I are part of Israel. We're part of Israel. You know what the word Israel means? He shall. That's the yeah. He shall. Yisrael. It's not Israel, but Yisrael. So the Y-I. Yeh, future. That's all. He shall. And then the next word is sar. I know there's no A in it, but there is. That's the way the Hebrews write. So sar is prince. What a prince is actually a judge and a ruler and a military person. So he shall rule. He shall reign. He shall judge. He shall be a prince with God. El. Issar El. Israel. So Israel means that the man who was named Jim, Jacob, Yaakov, is the same as James, Yakobo, in Swahili. Those names, he changed his name from one thing to another thing. Jim the cheater, the supplanter, the one who tried to grab his brother's foot and had it. I'm not letting him get ahead of me. We're twins and I want to be first. Well, he was so determined to supplant and to cheat and to lie and whatever he had to do, and he didn't care. And his mom didn't either. That he said, you know, I think I'm going to change your name. Now, he didn't change his own name. I want to call myself Yisrael. You know, he didn't do that. God did that. God said, you are no longer, no more shall you be called Jacob, Yaakov, cheater, Jim, James. No longer. You are now going to be from now on the one who shall rule with God, reign with God, judge with God, be awesome with God. So it's the with God. America is one nation under God. Texas is one state under God. It's powerful. So you know what? It's the under God that limits bad guys. If God is over Jim, me, I can't cheat. I can't lie. I don't have to anymore, and I don't, because I don't need to. Why? Because God is for me. And he does more than I ever would have done. He's given me stuff that I don't deserve at all. I'm too blessed. I got a perfect wife. And my fourth child, Margaret, she's perfect. There's no question about that. And unfortunately, she has some of my bad habits, like about 1,000. I think she's probably improved on a few of them. But you know what? Everything is going my way. Janet, there's nothing but blessing. Amen. If you look at something that isn't, take your eyes off that. Start looking at all the things that are, and by the time you get back to the thing that wasn't looking good, it'll be good. Yes. Just start counting all your blessings. Stop looking at bad things. Think on things that are holy, that are just, that are true, that are pure, that are excellent. Ah, that's the way to think. Never think on things that are sad, otherwise more sad will come. You know, you think on sad, you're going to get more sad. You think on holy, you're going to get more holy. I like to look at Jesus, not at me. I don't like to look at me. I don't want to look at what I've done or not done. I don't want to look at how sincere I am. I'm not a sincere person. I'm not. But if I were, it'd be Jesus. If anything sincere came out of me, and I think it does every once in a while, but I know it isn't me. It's Jesus. Jesus did that. And I'm just shocked as anybody else. Wow, how'd that happen? All right, I got to quit here. And the scripture foreseeing, you're now called a son of Abraham. Say it, I'm a son of Abraham. But how can you ladies say that? Because if I can be the bride, you can be the son. There you go. So there's no male or female. This is not. You're looking at the shadows. Look at here's the way the Bible talks. Just talk the way God talks. And the scripture foreseeing. The scripture foreseeing. In other words, God's word, who knows everything. That God would justify the nations by faith. So all the ethnic peoples, all the from whatever nation you're from, Gentile nations, They're all going to be justified by faith or not at all. That's how we got it. That's how we got it. We're not Israel, but we are. If God says it, then that's the way it is. I have no problem with that. But it doesn't make any sense, but I don't care about sense. I just care about, you know, what he said. I live by faith. And by faith, he says, Jim, I love you. It's good enough for me. And he's proved it. And I'm okay with it. I can testify if somebody says, well, tell me 10, 15 things. I can tell you 10, 15 things. But you know what? I'm not going to bother to do that. I'll just say one or two because I just believe it. I totally believe that I'm blessed beyond measure. Hugo, are you blessed beyond measure?
Yes.
You can't. In other words, you can't even count it. So why rehearse for somebody? Just one or two is good enough. Just one or two. Judy, just one or two. If he's blessed you at all, he's blessed you all. He can't bless you a little bit. God is not a blesser of a little bit. He's a big blesser. When he blesses, he blesses. The guy can't just give you half a Holy Spirit. You're only getting half. The way you behaved, you get half.
Yeah.
And I'm cutting that in half tomorrow if you don't show appreciation today on that half I gave you. That's all I get. It's all you deserve. But you don't deserve anything, and so you get everything. You don't deserve anything, so you get everything. You don't deserve anything, so you get everything. I don't know. I love the Bible. You know, poor presidents. I feel bad for presidents. They don't have my job. I not only get to enjoy this myself, I get to share it. It's too good to be true. And I know it's rare. It shouldn't be. Every pastor in the world should be sharing it. But I don't care whether they are or they're not. I'm going to do it anyway because it's too good to be true. And I want Muslims to hear it. You don't have to perform and kill people and whatever, chop heads off to go to heaven. You can have the beer and the girls and so on and so forth, whatever you're looking for. But I tell you, there's something better knowing Jesus.
Amen.
I'd skip the girls, take Jesus.
Yeah.
Skip the beer. I mean, God's not against the beer and the girls. What he's against is that you thought that was heaven. I mean, that's a big mistake because it's not. How many know if you had I don't know how many they get. What do they get? 70? If you had 70, you'd be worn out. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. Those girls are not going to get along with each other. And you're not going to get along with them. Just being married to one woman, I can say by my own experience, it's tough. It's right there. That's enough right there. Because Peggy and I can get into an argument in about 3 seconds. I'll say one thing and she'll say one thing and that's it. And we're going to say, I said it's blue. It is not. That is green. That is a green. That is more green than it is blue. We'll just argue about any old thing. I've learned, just keep silent. Just keep silent. Do not teach. Do not try to help out. Just keep silent. Yes, dear. Exactly. Blue. There's no point in being, you know, figuring out how you're going to win. Because you can't win. With two people, you got a world war. That's it, right there. There's a world war. And if they're family, it's even worse because you have to live next to them. You have to live with them. Y'all see this? You're not having fun. This is fun. I mean, you can argue over anything and everything. Did you know that? I don't know. I think some people are more stubborn than others.
Amen.
But I think God is for you. When Dave gives up like that, that means shut up. End. No more inspiration. Yeah, she already stood up. All right. Let's just read this and then I'll go. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations, the ethnic groups, the Gentiles, by faith, preach the gospel before to Abraham. What is the gospel? What is the good news? Mm-hmm. That all the work's been done. God has already provided everything. It's over. That's it. That's the good news.
Amen.
There's nothing to do. Just be a receiver and enjoy the gift that he's given you. And just go around and tell everybody else, God is good. God gave me forgiveness. God gave me a perfect husband or wife or children or pastor or church or something or other. Everything's going my way. Everything's good. Why? Because God. God's a guarantor. He stands behind his word to perform it. You can't. You can't stand behind your word to perform it. You don't even know if you can get here on time. You don't know anything. You have no power. You have no control. Amen. Isn't God good? Now, let's have a testimony and I'm off. Testify. Pastor, that was awesome, as usual. It was glorious. Judy.
Amen.
Yeah, it's good. Because it's encouraging to hear the truth.
I'm just blessed.
Yeah.
What you said was, I'm just blessed.
Yeah. Blessed. You are blessed. And he can never take it back. He can give you more, but he can't give you less. He can't take away what you have. It's like those guys on radio that say, you keep all your principal, and when the market goes down, it shuts it off, and so you don't take any losses, and you keep it, and you keep everything, and you get all the gains and none of the losses. That's the gospel. That's good news. I don't know if it works or not. I'm not into that. But I'm just telling you, it sounds good, but I believe in God's case, it is good. If God be for you, nobody can be against you. Who else? Just an amen or hallelujah or whatever. Willis.
Yeah, it's over.
Good.
I don't have anywhere else to go.
He's too powerful.
Yes.
This can change the world. Yeah, Hugo.
It is a blessing to hear this every day.
Yeah.
And I don't go by my feelings because my feelings are so bad, but I go by the faith and by the promise of God.
Yeah.
And I learned this here.
Yeah. It's too powerful. Yeah. It's too powerful. Yeah. It's too powerful. By the way, give me one more week because I'm in the middle of something right now, and I can't get free from it. But I'm almost done. Almost done. All right. Who else? Want to testify? Dan, and then...
Block that.
Right.
That's crazy thinking.
Right.
It's Jesus who is my real you.
Correct.
His behavior, his performance, his being pleased, his...
Good sub. Jesus is a great sub. He is your life. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is everything. You don't need to get it. You have it. Just enjoy it. Just say, God, explain that to me, because I don't get that. That's powerful. Sam.
I just agree with all what everybody said. It's just been wonderful. But one thing, just remember Rami in prayer today.
Okay.
Surgery. So let's
Rami?
Rami.
Okay. Do it. Let's do it. You close in prayer. Yeah.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word that we've received today. We thank you so much that you've done everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go perform, that we don't have to do anything except believe in you,
mm-hmm.
love you,
yes.
and ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and,
yes, Lord.
And help us to be what you want us to be all the way down there into chair 6 and into chair 7. Dear
yep.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for pastors. Thank you so much for Rami. We ask that your holy hand and your healing hand
yeah.
be upon him, that the
yes.
surgeon's hands would be guided, that they would be careful, and that he has a quick and miraculous and wonderful recovery.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all thy blessings.
And
thank you so much for thy servants. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Powerful.